One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet. Resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by National Lacrosse League and Talkspace. More on that later. Let's get into the dew.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here bringing it at you in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Hit that subscribe button right now on the YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed. You get audio every Monday. You get video every Tuesday. Make sure you're subscribed to the Patreon show, The Honeydew with Y'all, where I am highlighting the lowlights with you all. It's $5 a month. But they have an option now where you sign up for a year, you'll save over a month plus of free episodes if you take the yearly option, which is $54. So I believe it is. So I know that's a lot of money for some people out there right now. I know people are struggling. We're on unemployment, the economy. But if you have it and you want more due, that's what you got to do. Subscribe to the Patreon. And if you or someone you know has a story that you need that you know needs to be heard, submit at honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. All right. Get over there and like the Facebook fan page so we can get that thing rolling. And honeydewpodcast.com is the website for everything Honeydew related. New merch is either out or it's coming. It should be out by now. We got Champion Nightpants Nation sweats. We've got new tees. We got a lot of stuff coming. So very excited about the new merch just in time for the fall. And if you live in LA and you need a musical instrument or lessons for your kids, Santa Monica Music Center, where I record here, is the spot. You can get some online classes from LA musicians. If you use the code Honeydew, they will waive the registration fee and give you a free lesson when you sign up for a package. All right. Those are the details. This is a very special episode. We have hit 100 episodes. So first, I want to say thank you to every single one of you out there. Thank you for your support. However, whether it's comments or merch or whatever you do to support this show, thank you so much. All the mommies, all the doers, all the feasters, thank you all. And I want to say a special shout out to my babysitters. I got a roster of these ladies who make it possible for me to leave and come and do stuff like this. So shout out to all my babysitters. I appreciate every single one of you. Kristen, Alexis, all of you out there. This episode here, it's been a long time coming. I've even asked this guest to be the first guest on this show, and this young man wanted to wait until he was ready, and he's ready. 100 episodes in, it's a very special episode. Please welcome to the Honeydew, first time, Jay Larson, y'all. What's up, Jay Larson? Comment, he's here. Listen. He's here. He's here, everybody. He's here.
My favorite is you're like, let me thank all my babysitters, both of you.
There's
Alexis,
more.
Alexis, Kristen.
There's more.
I could probably do this face to face, but I want to make sure they listen.
Thank you, ladies.
Well, listen. I think before we even start this, we should start with one one place.
What's that?
You know what?
Oh! Jay Larson comedy.
That's the first time we've touched pit. Well, we've done it in live shows with no headphones, but we went into it and I'm like, oh, I don't have cans on.
But you heard it though, didn't
oh,
you?
Oh yeah, I felt it too.
Touched, crossed
it
up.
You don't hear touching pitches, you feel it. I think y'all know that out there.
All right, well, we have some stuff to talk about.
When you touch that pitch, remember? I mean, that's been a long time.
I haven't even done that,
man. I haven't touched anyone's pitches.
Nor will I ever.
One guy tried to touch my pitch, dude.
Well, he just hit you up with it one day?
I hit the guy with the freaking assault charge trying to touch my pitch. Let me just tell you
aggravated
something.
Aggravated assault.
Let me tell you something, man.
If you try to touch somebody's pitch during the coronavirus, it might be aggravated assault.
It is, man. Let me tell you something, man. You are 100% on your own. Keeping Lime Green in business, baby.
Nah, hey, me and the Seahawks.
It's me and the Seahawks. Just those Thursday night unis. You know when you order this rug, they were like, someone bought the green one. It's finally gone.
They had to go all the way up top with the forklift and get it.
I didn't even know this was still on that page. No, but dude, this studio looks great, man.
Thank you, this looks great.
This is so pro.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate
you being here. It's been a long time coming. I know a lot of fans have wanted this.
Before we start, I appreciate everyone who helped build this studio. I want to do a shout out to everyone that helped out. Mike, Sean.
My painters. That guy had to come back twice.
Listen,
man, I don't like the color of this wall. He's like, are you serious? I go, yeah, paint that shit again.
What color did he, which one
it
didn't
just
you
look
like?
Too, well, this is repainted now, but it just looked too blue. It looked cool. You know, when you get those grays.
Nice. Yeah,
this
real nice. I mean, it's real nice.
He showed me how to do it. You take clear caulk, and that's how you paint the lines.
What do you mean?
Huh. You put caulk it off, and then you put clear caulk in the lines you don't want to paint, and you paint over, and then you pull the tape right away, and it gives it a crisp, clean line with no runs.
Okay.
So before we get into it,
yeah.
Is there anything you would like to promote? Anything you'd like to get out there, tell the fans about, go watch? Yes, hold on.
Yeah.
Your stand-up special, let's talk about it, mm-hmm. because it is on YouTube. It has how many views?
Like 940,000.
Yeah, we're coming up on a million views on your stand-up special. Again, another comedian who everyone said no to and who went out there, did it on your own anyway.
That's how you do it. You bring them down to build them back up.
And then had that almost a million views on YouTube, which is astounding. That's astounding. That's an hour special. With a million views. Not a 5-minute bit.
Yeah,
you know, it's a lot.
No, remember though, that number, for whatever it's worth nowadays, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you see guys, you know, but just getting a million is just like, if and when, because I feel it's going to hit a million, I'll just be like, okay, feels good. Yeah, and you know what? I'm proud of it for releasing it to 2,000 subscribers, right? And then for it to reach a million. And you see some specials out there that Comedy Central puts out, and they have like 1.3 million subscribers, and you're just like, oh, that feels good, you know, it feels good. So yeah, they can go watch that at my YouTube channel, baby.
That's right.
That's it, man. No podcast from me, no shows from me. Everything is behind the scenes now, bro.
Well, let's talk about the end of the Crab Feast, because we'll get that out of the way right now, because I know a lot of people ain't. A lot of people thought there was bad blood. A lot of people thought there was, you know, even doing this away from YMH, people are like, oh, they hate each other. And No. It's none of that shit.
By the way, you know, I texted someone the other day, AK, you know what I mean? Like AK. 7 A's and then a K.
Yeah.
And they wrote back, what's that? And I'm like, it's okay, but with like a little Marilyn twang in there. And they wrote back, AK.
AK.
Yeah, of course no bad blood, dude. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day of like, you know, just like this world is so crazy right now. I mean, it's just like the craziest world. And I'm like looking at my life and I'm looking at scenarios. And I was like in therapy talking about like how I've always like, as for me, always like yearned for like men in my life to feel like brothers. You know what I mean? Because I always just feel like a brother is someone that, like, you can call at 11:30 at night and they're going to pick up. And I remember, like, I'm like, yeah, man, like, that's me and you. It used to be, I remember, like, getting phone calls from you at 11:30 and putting it on speakerphone, and I'd be in bed with Kate and I just put the speakerphone on, you know? So, like, yeah, we're always going to be brothers, whether we're doing this together, and I'm, like, going to be right there cheering you on. And I mean, obviously, we didn't, like, take it to the public to be like, we're still together, guys.
Yeah, I know. People really want that. You know?
I know. And they wanted you. And it's just like, don't worry about, you know.
And I would jump in every now and then. I said, Jay has an open invite. Whenever Jay's ready to come on the do, he'll come on. I just hit you up yesterday, literally, and be like, look, you should just come on. Why don't you just come on tomorrow at 1 o'clock? And you were like, how about 2? And I was like, thank God.
Yeah, I was wondering. I'm like, I wonder what Rye thought when he got that text back.
And then I was like, all right, well, we're right here a few weeks away from episode 100, so here we are.
I got to be honest with you. I was golfing, and I was 6 holes in when you texted, and I was 2 under par. So I was like, fuck yeah, 2 o'clock tomorrow. Whereas if, I'll tell you right now.
3 over, you might have been like, I'm good.
2 holes later, I was plus 3. I went double bogey, triple bogey. And my buddy didn't give me this putt for the 5 on the par 3. And I go, you're not going to give me that? He's like, no. And I missed it. And I'm like, great. I went on the 5 stroke swing over 2 holes. Anyway, yeah.
So after the podcast, you went and did the through line, which was a lot of work.
Lots of work.
I know. It was a lot of work. How many episodes did you do?
Total? I mean, I don't know. Like 70, maybe?
I used to do like a year, a
little
year.
A little over a year, yeah. But I changed that format up, you know what I mean? You know, but I honestly, Ryan, like, I love, like, talking, clearly.
Yeah.
But, like, podcasts, it just wasn't like, I was like, I don't know what I wanted to be.
Because you were doing solo ones, you would do guests. I saw you change your...
Yeah, I changed, you know, like, put it this way. When I do stand-up, I do a joke, and after doing it 8 times, I'm like, I don't want to do this joke anymore, you know? And I don't know. Well, the reason I stopped it ultimately was once COVID hit, I was just like having a really tough time finding humor or anything I wanted to talk to directly to camera. I've done 2 podcasts during COVID, and that was Your Garbage, which I loved. I know you did.
Yeah, great one, yeah.
And I knew that one was going to be super fun, and this. But otherwise, I've been asked a ton of times, and I'm like, yeah, I just don't really want to talk. You know what I mean? Like, none of it, you know, it's just such a wild time. Like, it's just changed my perspective on so much stuff. That's why I stopped doing mine. I was just like, I can't find a way to, like, get in front of a camera and behind a mic and talk about anything because I just wasn't finding any happiness or peace in my own head, and I was just like, I'm just gonna stop it. You know what I mean? It didn't mean so much to me that I would keep going, you know.
So now without stand up and everything, you said I'm behind the scenes. So how have you shifted? What are you doing? We saw your if you haven't, almost fucked up. I won't say the competitor's name.
Okay.
Almost said Subway. But Jersey Mike's commercial.
Jersey Mike's, baby.
With Judge.
Aaron Judge,
yeah,
man.
Who did I say it was at first? I said...
Giancarlo Stanton, maybe?
Yeah, Stanton. Yeah. I was like, well, who... I was in my place one night, and I happened to get up, and I walked from the kitchen into the living room, and I just saw the last second of you sitting at a table. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. You know what's funny is, like, how many Major League Baseball players have 2 outfielders that are 6'5"?
Yeah.
Judge is 6'6".
They're a carbon copy of each other.
They're just bombers. Here's the best part. This is where COVID helps out. I did that in January, and then COVID hit when they were going to launch it. So then baseball was on hold, so they don't launch the commercial. But my contract was only for 6 months or whatever the amount of months was. So then they wanted to re-up it, so then I had to get paid again.
Oh, nice.
So what's up, COVID? Thanks, baby. Yeah, man, did that Jersey Mike spot, which was cool.
But you've been directing and stuff,
directing,
too, you're telling
me? That's the best, dude. Oh, it's the best. You know what's funny is, like... Well, I was, you know, I was like writing and producing on this golf show and directing a bunch of the sketches. And then I wrote and directed a commercial for Callaway, which ended up being like a short film kind of thing. And I'm sitting there, and you've acted and stuff. Have you directed?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, short sketches and
stuff.
Yeah,
whatever. So the commercial, that was the first time doing something that was like
big budget, had to answer to people, you know, had to do the thing. And I've shot on commercials, I've shot in movies, and I've been the actors where like the DP and the director are getting together and they're like, all right, talent, we're gonna hold talent, you know. And then when I watched them all walk back in after like we set everything up for the next shot, I was just like, oh, that's like, they've just been waiting, you know what I mean? Even though I went in and like talked to certain actors, like, oh, listen, this is what's coming up for you, and we go over it. But it was just like, it gave me a totally different perspective. I was on my feet for 14 hours, and that night my back was shot, and I loved every second of it. I just loved it. It's just fun. I like the, like, talking it over with the actors. I like talking with the DP. I like going then talking to, like, the ad agency and being like, yeah, I understand, you know, and giving perspective. And I just, like, ate it up. Ate it up.
You going to do more of that?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I was scheduled to do the next one, and then they pivoted on like the direction they want to do it, like a more of like a straight up traditional commercial, you know what I mean? But I'm definitely going to direct more like on the golf show. I'm sure I'm going to do more of that. I just love it. It's super fun. It's super fun to just like see it soup to nuts and have to answer on every single thing, you know?
Yeah, I worked with Eric Abrams on all these Epics specials that are out right now, and he had me come in as like a
consulting producer.
Yeah, that's what they gave me. But yeah. I interviewed all the comedians, and so in between their stand-up, they cut away to them talking, and that's me.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Talking to.
Yeah, on the interview.
Yeah, and then they cut back in and sort of like weave it into their stand-up material and stuff like that.
Yeah. Was that fun?
Oh, yeah, man.
I mean, you're great at that anyway.
It's doing this. Yeah. I love talking to people. I love their stories.
Yeah.
I love like a rich just backstory and a good storyteller, you know? Yeah. I've always told you, I like old ladies to play cards and watch sports. You know, those ladies talk. They've got shit to say.
What old ladies you talking about, man?
Talking about my grandma.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet. Resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging a**hole and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
Yeah. Her sisters.
No, I know.
Your aunties and everything.
Oh, man, yeah. Playing cards on the back deck for nickels and pennies.
I just said it last night, and I was like, when I was homeless, my grandmother's sister took me in. My Aunt Marguerite, who was already raising her grandkids. Like, that goes so deep.
Listen, man, I want to be straight up with you. I was so looking forward to this. You're not going to believe this. Marguerite!
Marguerite!
Get your
dead ass in here, yeah, Marguerite.
Lord, you have not aged well, Marguerite. God damn it.
But they would play Pinochle. They would play all these games.
Yeah.
And it would always be nickels and dimes and shit. And she would smoke her little cigarettes, and she would tell me, watch these sons of bitches.
What were they, like,
Ryan.
Thins? Like those?
No, just regular Marlboros. But she had that leather case that clipped at the top. You know, this thing
course.
Right here. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, everything.
Like the eyeglass case. Yeah.
Yeah, for your cancer.
I can see my, yeah, for your, none of my aunts smoked, but I can see the red.
You know that.
My aunt had a red one with the gold up here, and it had like some little gold, like total 70s style design.
And a clip like this at the top.
Yeah.
So she would smoke her cigarette, and she'd be like, watch these sons of bitches, Ryan. They cheat. And I would see them. They'd have aces on her legs. I'm like, this motherfucker's got an ace on her. She's like, I'm telling you, they're cheating over nickel and dime games. So we would have fun doing that shit.
Yeah.
And she was the aunt, too, that had, like, the TV. So she would tell me like,
whoa, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Well,
the
back
one
in,
that had the TV
in 58 when the greatest game ever played, the NFL championship, Colts Giants, like not everyone had a TV and
right.
they would all go to her house and watch. They all
but
watched
I mean, you're saying it like you were alive in 58.
I wasn't. I mean, that's right, what I was told. Like, she was the relative that had
oh,
the TV.
She, so basically she was like the, she was ahead of the curve.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, listen, I can't afford the heating bill, but we got a brand new TV.
She's the same aunt that won $1 million or 1.4, I think it was, in a Rite Aid settlement I told you about. Remember?
Yeah. That
she
sounds.
She got falsely accused of stealing. She and three other ladies, they were accused of embezzling, and they were forced to take lie detector tests, and they were 100% innocent. They got an attorney. All of them passed their lie detector test. They looked into it a little bit. Turned out the execs were the ones stealing, and they all got over $1 million.
Took that $1.4 million. Open to Dwayne Reed. Open to Dwayne Reed. That's crazy. I thought it was just like she slipped on something.
No, they were falsely accused and then fired and everything and proven innocent.
Oh, she worked there.
Yeah, she was she worked at Rite Aid, and it was her and like three other ladies all accused of stealing money, but it was really the execs trying to blame it on them. They got found out.
Did they each get 1.4?
No, she got 1.4 because she was the ringleader. Everybody else got like 1.2, but they were like a couple $100,000 for your troubles. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
She do anything with it?
Yeah, this is so Baltimore rich. They went right from the city, which was right here. They're like, we are fucking out of here. We're going to buy this home and rent it out, and we are moving out. And they went right here to the county. I mean right here to the county line. They went to here. But it was immediately better schools. It was a home with a pool, you know.
Yeah.
But it was so close to everything they knew and loved, so they just stayed in that pocket.
Yeah, I know.
And then she said to me one day, those kids are grown. I'm going to sell this house. I'm going back to Highland Town, and I'm going to die in that house on Macon Street. And that is exactly what she did.
Damn.
Exactly what she did.
Do you find as you're getting older, like the idea of, you know, you and I have been in LA pretty much the same amount, right? 20 years?
Yeah, 20-some years.
You know, I had that New York hiatus. But, like, do you find that it's, like, harder and harder to, like, now I'm, like, used to, like, I've always said I wanted to move away from the West Side. I'm, like, oh, there's so many areas I love in other parts of LA, but I'm like, man, I don't even know what I would do over there. I don't know. Like, you get so used to like the hardware store you go to and like the different coffee shops and like all that kind of stuff. Like, I think as you get older, you're just like less apt to change. Or obviously, we all know that, but like even a move, you know?
Yeah, but our whole thing for you and I has always been change. It's a pain in the ass, but it's always beneficial. It's always been a good thing.
Yeah.
It's always been a struggle to do it. So, yeah, I really like living over here, but also I just like living close to my daughter, and I love having my own schedule, working for myself. I mean, on the way in, my daughter's out there with the babysitter today. If I'm working a regular gig, I don't get to see her at 1:30 in the afternoon on a fucking Thursday,
Course,
you know.
Yeah.
So I love what's become. But I'll tell you what I really do miss. I miss my family more and more. And
oh, I bet.
Like my nieces and nephews, and especially like my one niece, Maddie, she's now 13. So my nephew's 11, and she's listening to the show and shit now. And she and I text and stuff now. And then my younger brother, his kids are 7, 5, and just about 2. And they're all right in Stella's wheelhouse. And every weekend they could be playing together.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that, because I was raised differently. That's how I was. That's why I'm saying my grandmother's sister took me in. She's watching her grandkids. And I don't get the once removed shit, but they're basically third cousins. That's how I look at it. And we're all living together,
man,
and hanging out together.
If we're going to start going down the Ryan Sickler family tree, I don't know if we have time, dude. I don't know if we have time to find out how many cousins.
It's a big tree.
But I used to say when I would be on the road and people all the time, I've said this 100,000 times. They'd be like, man, it's so cool you get to travel. And I'm like, you know what's cool, bro? The fact that you never left home. You know what I would love is like every Sunday to know that I'd be going to my mom's with the kids and with my their cousins to eat dinner on Sundays, where you would just kick it there for like 6 hours. You know what I mean?
That's what I said. I just want to cut the grass.
You know, that's all I'm saying, man.
I want to get on a ride mower and just cut the fucking grass.
Listen, man, you might have to walk it, son.
I should.
Well, with the property that big? Yeah, dude, trust me. That was me too. Me too. We're never going to be cutting the grass in L.A. proper.
No.
You know what I mean?
Well, we'll get jumped by a bunch of Mexican guys if you try to cut your own grass. Cutting it in their neighborhood,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, totally.
So I want to talk about, because I know it's interesting, you also are a big therapy guy, and I know we talked a lot about your dad on the feast, but you never really got into it, I feel, like the way you did in your stand-up special that's available on YouTube, approaching 1 million views. You should watch it. Mm-hmm. But you're also realizing that a lot of these things in our lives were, because I would think the same thing, like, oh, this is an issue with my mom. But wait a minute. Oh, my God, this might be abandonment. My dad's been dead since I was 16. Oh, holy shit. I didn't realize how angry I was at the time. I didn't realize how I was actually closing people off and out.
Yeah.
The entire time. So yeah. I wanted to talk to you about sort of, you know, the father you are with your kids versus what you had.
Mm-hmm.
which is nothing.
Yeah.
And do you find yourself, like we talked about, maybe overcorrecting or trying to do too much, and, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, this is the craziest thing of what I've realized in the last 7 months, 8 months, 10 months, is that, you know, I put everything on the fact that my dad wasn't there. But then I started digging deeper into it, and I was just like, wait a minute. I said to my brother, this is what I said to my brother the other day on the phone, because I feel like you and I, you've told me stuff, especially you said to Todd, things, you know, you just say to your brother. I said to my brother, I go, and listen, I love my mom, you know what I mean? I love her. But I said, do you realize that the bar was so low in our family that the fact that mom stayed was wow.
Right.
Yeah. What an unbelievable mother.
Right.
Because people have said, I have two kids, and people have said to me, have you guys ever thought about a third? And I go, bro, I barely have enough love for two. Think about all the love and attention you give to Stella, right? That's me with the kids, with my kids. I'm giving total attention, love, focus, discipline, making sure I'm aware of how they're acting, when they're not acting, if I'm missing something, you know what I mean? Just staying in tune. Now try and doing that with four kids and having a full-time job. It's just impossible. There is no way. And I look back and I'm like, oh yeah, there was just no one giving any attention or any love. I mean, I was getting love, but not love. You know what I mean? My mom would leave, go to work, be home at 5:30. We'd all eat dinner. Then my grandmother would leave, or my mom would drive her home, and then she'd come back. Do you think she has time to go around the house and connect on a very intimate level with each child? No fucking way, bro. So, that was, a huge realization for me, you know, just trying to – I'm constantly trying to figure myself out, and I was, looking at that stuff, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you're just, you've never had anyone really honing in and, focusing on you, which is why I constantly spent my whole life trying to get everyone and everything to love on me, because I was had this giant hole in me that I was trying to fix, you know?
I do know. It resonates, because I'm older.
He's I've noticed that about you for a long time.
I'll tell you what, I'm definitely not going to let you talk about the woman that makes the greatest meatballs on earth
man.
You go ahead and be careful about what you say. Al dente meatballs, you know, rare meatballs.
I can still see every moment of that night, so vividly.
I crushed those motherfuckers up.
I'm seeing you right down the end of the table right now. I'm right here.
I did everything I could. I had two bites. It fucked my stomach up all night long. Oh, shit. But I, too, also realized, the bar for... I mean, my mom didn't even stay.
Yeah.
Didn't even stay. So when I started dating or meeting women, a hug. I'm not even kidding you. A hug was you're the greatest person on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, and as you get older, you're like, oh, those are the basics that you missed out on. You know,
sure.
A hug is not going to cut it. You know, there's so much more that goes into being somebody's partner than a fucking hug.
Yeah. Well, you know, so I was saying, so the other day, something was just I could tell Reed was he was just I didn't know if he was sad or something was going on. I could just tell, you know, I could feel it. And I could only feel it because we're spending time together and we're connected, you know? So we're getting ready for dinner. And I was like, hey, buddy, when you go in to wash your hands, do me a favor. Just take a moment with yourself. Take a couple deep breaths. You seem a little just take a couple moments. And he's like, okay, dad. And then he like comes to the dinner table, and I can tell he's still like, you know, something's not great. And like we go about dinner, and my in-laws are there, and everything's going on. And he finishes dinner early. We normally have the kids stay at the table till we're done eating, but we're just like, oh, let's let it. He seems like something's off. And then like I'm just like, you know what? I like quick finished my dinner, and I went in the other room, and I go, hey, let's go for a secret bike ride. Me and you, we'll sneak out the back. We won't say anything to anyone. I'll go open the gate, and we'll go. And he's like, yeah, let's go. And, like, we do this loop around the neighborhood, right? So it's like we go around this neighborhood. And for, like, 6 months I've been saying to Reed, hey, let's go down this road next and do another loop. It's not downhill. Reed's a little skittish, right? It's not down a big hill or anything. It's just a different loop. And he never wants to do it. He's like, no, Dad. You know, Reed will be the first one to tell you. I'm not ready to do that. I'll try it tomorrow or whenever he's ready. So I pull him out of there. We're on our bike ride. I'm like, isn't this great? We're on a secret bike ride. And he's like, yeah, no one knows we're here. And I go, well, I told Mom, buddy. I always tell Mom where you are. I don't want her to get nervous. He's like, okay, but like Nan and Papa don't know, and River. And I'm like, no. And then I'm like, we're coming around the turn, and I go, hey, let's go left, like down that route. And he just looks at me and goes, okay, Dad. And I was like, it was just an amazing moment. He hasn't wanted to take that left for 6 months. And I didn't tell him ahead of time.
Wish I didn't take the left I took with my dad, Jay.
You know what I'm saying? He told you not to, bro.
He didn't tell
and
me not to
like,
take
I
that.
Got this.
I was like, we're taking this motherfucker.
God damn it. Thinks he knows everything. Dude, that's genius. I love that that came up. But like I was so I was talking to my friend like later, like a couple days later, and I realized, I'm like, did you realize not only never in my life was I ever able to just like even call my dad?
I was about to say, yeah.
Not, never even call and be like, I'm sad or I'm hurt or I'm having trouble with this at school or anything, right? Nothing. Let alone having a dad that's like in tune with me, see something's off, and then swoops
care.
Me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And puts him in a situation to say, I got you. There's no pressure on you. Like, let's just ride. And then we just ride. And then I go, let's make a left. And he's like, fuck yeah, I'm going to make that left. It was like the greatest moment. But then if you, like, even me just saying that right there, like, I'm sure there were tons, hundreds of times where I was like, man, I need someone right now to talk to. And my dad's not there, so I put the anger and all that on him. And then I just look to my mom like, oh, at least you're here. And like, let me get a hug or something.
This'll do.
But it was never like any conversation of like, you know, that stuff. Like, I didn't know where to get it from. Or if she wasn't there, it's like, you know, this guy I was talking to about like similar stuff. And he was like, yeah, I always kind of like built my life around my friends. And I was like, yeah. Me too, because there was no one else. And I know that was a big part of you too, with everyone stayed at your house. I mean, you were lucky to have 189 cousins. But,
yeah.
You know, like, you know, it's wild. So now, like, as a parent, I just am like, I just try to make sure I'm as present as possible and engaged as possible. And I try to, like, create, like, a world of, like, mystery and excitement and, like, surprises, because I'm like, I'm never going to get this time back when they're this young where, like, you can make – Reed will buy everything hook, line, and sinker. Anything you say to him, he'll be like, really, Dad? And I'm like, no, I don't have a cow, Reed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I don't know. Yeah, and I don't honestly, like – I love them and like give them as much attention as possible and dedicate as much of my time as possible to them, which is why, you know, people are like, oh, I miss stand-up so much. I haven't missed it a single moment, because every single night, if I want to, at 9:38, when I might be going on stage at the Improv or the Comedy Store, I can walk into their room and be like, oh, he's laying down backwards. Why is he laying down backwards? Why is River doing this? And I can go in there and start biting his cheek and know that he's going to sleep like a rock, whereas River, I can go up there and be like, River, and she'd be like, like, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I love that more than anything. And still keep discipline and structure. You know, I'm not like, I'll just let them do anything because I didn't have a dad. Fuck that. So, why? Do you feel like you're making overcorrections with them? Or
I don't think I necessarily make overcorrections, but I'm sure I'm overprotective at times. I'm sure I am. I'm also, you know, a first-time parent. You've got two kids.
Yeah.
So you already have been through it. I think maybe with the second kid, I probably wouldn't be as much. But, yeah, you know, and also being a single parent, like, even though my kid is 3 miles away, it feels like three universes away sometimes when she comes over and tells me what she did. And so I want to be literally close in case there's any emergency or any time. Like, Dad, come over and see this. I'm tops. I'm 15 minutes away,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
on purpose. And
you know what, though? See, there are some times when I think I'm over. You're going to love this. So there's this one kid. This is one kid who Reed's friends with, and he's got an older brother, and the older brother, you know, he walks a different kind of line. He's not too old, but like, you know, we were over there recently, and he called me a stupid dum-dum. He goes, all right, he goes, you're a stupid dum-dum. And I go, don't talk to me like that. I go, dude, you do not call me that. And then right before we're leaving, he told Reed to shut up, and like, we just don't say shut up. I'm like, there's no point. In any point, why would a six-year-old need to say shut up to anyone?
Reed, shut up. I got this.
But that kid told Reed to shut up, and I go, don't talk. I go, hey, bro, don't talk. And I'm like,
where are his parents?
Right there. Right there. So I don't know if they're just like block it out, or they're not hearing it, or they're okay with it.
They just want everyone else to discipline their kid?
No, that's not. I don't think that's it, because they discipline. But I don't think like the level like of me saying like, I don't like, definitely we don't say dumb. We don't say stupid. We don't say, I don't like them to say fat. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, there are books where you're reading Dr. Seuss and it's saying fat. So you're just like, but like, I just see like, I remember like leaving there, like, and that kid in 20 minutes said stupid and dumb 4 times, told Reed to shut up. And I remember Andy hit a dog.
He hit a dog?
Yeah, his own
what
dog.
What do you mean?
With a lollipop on the head. Hit him on the head with it. And what else am I going to say about the kid? Yeah. You don't take a lollipop and hit a dog. After he did that, and Reed laughed, and I pulled Reed aside. I'm like, hey, bro, that is not, you know, you never hit a dog, you know? And he's like, okay, Dad. But, like, my fear is, like, that Reed is going to, like, think this is cool the way this kid's acting. So, like, on the ride home, I'm like, bud, I go, I'm going to say this one time. I'm not saying he's a bad kid, but I'm saying, like, we don't talk like that. You don't call people dumb. You don't call people stupid. And you know what's definitely not cool, bro, is hitting a dog or calling a dog stupid. And he's like, okay, Dad. Like, he takes it in. It's just like, and I'm like, am I being too overprotective? I'm making too big a deal of it. And I mean,
I don't think that is.
No, but it was like the next day it was like me and River just doing something together, and she did something. It was so cool. And I was like, River, I'm like, I love how your brain works. I love that you saw this, you manipulated it into that, and you turned it into this. And the whole time you had the idea of knowing this is. I go, that's so smart. I think that's really cool that's how your brain works. And I just heard the word smart, right? And I don't tell them they're smart all the time. I say, oh, you're really good at that. You're really good at this. Because I don't want them to have this idea of having to be smart or have, you know, whatever. But I realized how positive the word smart is and how negative the word dumb and stupid is. And even if you're calling something dumb and stupid, you're putting negative out of your mouth at 8 years old. And I'm like, why would that ever need to happen? And like, obviously they're going to call things dumb and stupid. And it's not a huge deal. But like, if that thing starts getting into your head at a young age, P.S. that kid at 6, 2 years ago, called me fat. At 6. Called me fat, bro. Called me at 6. You know what I said to him? I go, don't talk to me like that, dude. I'm not friends with people who talk like that. I'm like, we're out of here.
You left.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were on the way out anyway. This kid seals every conversation with some sort of thing.
He just can't wait for people to get the fuck out, huh?
That's the kid that punched Reed in the face. Remember that?
Why are you still hanging out with this kid?
I mean, he's
starting to question the parents.
His folks are all right.
They got a boat and shit, you know.
They always have LaCroix at the house, which is nice.
All right, so for people who don't know, who haven't listened to The Crab Feast, and you should, it's a great podcast. It lasted longer than any relationship I've ever had, over 7 years.
Yeah.
It lasted longer. It was the only thing I could ever compare to a marriage was The Crab Feast.
I dated her for seven years.
Carl D. You talk about in your special...
Mm-hmm.
So your father left the family and moved literally like a neighborhood over, a community over, and still never saw you guys.
Yeah. We would pass his street on the way to my grandmother's.
I got to tell you.
Every single time.
Tony Hinchcliffe. I've had guests on the Honeydew with y'all, a young kid. Same thing. Dad lived right down the street. And he would see him drive by in his pickup truck and shit. Dad.
Yeah.
The dad. And you would drive by your father's house.
Well, he was on a dead end, so, I mean, it'd get literally tricky. That could get...
Dead end dad on a dead end street, man.
Dead end dad. Jesus. Yeah, I mean, like, it was crazy because, like, you know, there was only one street to get to my grandmother's from our town. Like, you would go down this one street. And, like, we'd always pass, hit the street. You would have to go in that. You'd make a left into his neighborhood and then a left to his, like, dead-end street. But, I mean, every single time we drove to my Nana's, you would pass that house.
And would you ever see him in the yard or anything outside?
No. Like, I would never drive down there. You know, me and my brother one time...
You didn't ride your bike when you got older? Curiosity?
No, that was way too far.
Wasn't it?
You know, it was like... It was a solid 3.5 to 5 miles between our houses, I'm guessing.
Oh, well, that's... I mean, now I'm thinking that's reasonable not to want to see your kids 3.5 to 5 miles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, now he doesn't sound so bad.
It's funny. I never thought of it till now. Like, yeah, every single time we drove past that, I would think, like...
And you're going there a lot.
Oh, we went to my grandma's all the time. But, like, you would just think, like, you're unwanted, you're shit, that guy doesn't love you. And it was just, like, a question. There was no, like... It was never explained... Like, where he was or, like, you know, I just didn't understand it, you know, like, because it's not like, you know, he just wasn't there. Like, he didn't call me on my birthday. We didn't call him on his birthday, which I do think that's on my mom a little bit. Like, that should have been, I think, like, even in divorce, no matter how bad it is, you need to, like, take into consideration how important having a mother or father is. And if your kids aren't old enough to, like, get on the phone, you sit there and you dial the phone and you say, it's your dad's birthday today, or it's your mom's birthday, or, you know, like, put the effort out, you know. Although I'm not going to put that on her because I really just don't know their situation. But, yeah, that was always, like, really, now that I think of it, probably traumatic every single time we passed that street, you know. One time, you know, my dad was an antique dealer. My brother and I, we used to all go to this because then he eventually moved to this other town, Essex, Massachusetts, where my grandparents lived. And, like, we would go there and, like...
His parents. So you did have a relationship with them.
My mom made it very clear that...
And they were into
that
it.
That we would have a relationship with them. Yeah.
And they were... They received that well, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So we would go to, like, antique shops that we knew my dad probably worked in. And, like, we all had run-ins with them because we would see them. You know what I mean?
And what's that like? Do you remember any of them?
No, I remember just being with my brother one time.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
One and him being like, Dad's here, let's go. And, like, we were just scared, you know? Like, we were scared, probably embarrassed. How embarrassing is that? You're, like, going to look for the guy that doesn't fucking want to be around you, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure he had his own, like, idea of, like, us not wanting to be around him, you know, like, he's probably, like, taking it personal when he's like, yeah, man, they can't even dial a phone, bro, you know? So, yeah. But what was your question about?
Well, you talked about your father passed away and you did sort of a pilgrimage back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, like, when I moved to L.A., like, I remember my cousin always says this. You know, you've met my cousin Christine. Mm-hmm. She goes, I'll never forget. Jay called me before and you said, I just got to get out of my hometown. Because I always had this fear, like, I would be stuck in my hometown and I would be 40 living in, like, in like around the corner from my mom's house.
So hold on.
Which is now like, I'm like, man, how fresh would that be?
I was just about to say, because earlier you said, you know what's cool? That right. You never left your hometown.
Exactly. Yeah. That was always like this giant, I don't know what got in my head or what was the thing that like made me think like.
This makes me think, this is the thing that makes me think more and more that this shit's some kind of matrix and not even real, is that, you know, you could pour your heart and soul into something that some virus could just come along and just eradicate. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I sit and think about things at night like, what's the beer man doing right now?
What do you mean?
The guy that sells beer at the stadium. He can't even be around people. What's the Budweiser? That guy here. Yeah. What's he doing right now? Mean, he's collecting unemployment.
You mean Eleanor Kerrigan's mom?
Eleanor, what's Mrs. Kerrigan doing right now? Got 15 kids. Got to figure out how to get them.
Well, if you took all day to think about all the people that this is affecting in a way that they can't have their job.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you don't have time. It's like it overwhelm you. Dude, I took the kids camping and like we're like looking up all the stars, right? So we're like taking in all the stars. And we've been camping twice in the last month. And right now, the first weekend we were there, here was the moon and Jupiter and Saturn were like, boom. And then Mars came up over here. So we're looking at all the planets, and I have this app. You put it up, and it shows you and tells you about them.
You ain't going to believe this shit.
What? Mars! Get your ass!
We do Mars Lord, coming up over here, dude.
I'm not doing it. You did it. I was like, who is he possibly going to call in Mars. Right now? It's coming up in the east, man.
Yeah.
Shit was coming on, baby.
It was just recently as close as it's going to be again in like 300 and some years or some shit. I know.
But so, like, you know, they're all popping.
I like the night sky. I'm big on it.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, dude, when you're out there camping, you see everything. So we're sitting there. Dude, we saw the space station fly by.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the dopest. Anyway, so we're doing all this stuff, and then I'm looking up, like, how far away the sizes. You know how big Jupiter is compared to the Earth?
Yeah, it's huge.
Yes.
I don't know.
How many sizes?
100 million.
You think it's 100 million times, dude? Sizes. You wouldn't even be able to.
I can't guess.
You wouldn't even
beans.
Be able to see in the sky.
I've never guessed a jelly bean in a jar either.
Oh, man,
know.
I've done it twice.
Have you gotten
baby.
Close?
Yeah. I'm tell you right now, there's 8 chords in this room. No, but like, anyway,
times,
it's 1,300 times 1300, the size of Earth. Yeah. That's fucking a
massive,
monster. So
yeah.
Then you have to calculate, think about like, well, if you're just seeing it as a star, you know how far away that needs to be? So I'm doing all this with the kids, and we're talking about its size and river. Just goes, Dad, this is overwhelming me. And I go, yeah, it's a lot. Huh? I go, do you feel small? She goes, yes. And I go, okay, let's just settle down a little bit. Look for
settle.
A shooting star.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, National Lacrosse League. Now, if you listen to this show at all, you know I'm a Maryland guy. Lacrosse is big there. I played in high school. I'll say the hardest hit I ever put on somebody was in lacrosse. There was a hot dog kid running it around behind the net. My brother was there, a couple buddies watching. It was my first game of the season, and man, I put that shoulder down and I brought the wood on that kid. I think he graduated early from a hospital bed. Clean hit though. You know what I'm saying? I love lacrosse. And now for the first time ever, they have National Lacrosse League fan gear from Fanatics. All right. Fanatics is the official shop for National Lacrosse League fan gear. Whoever you root for, wherever you live, you can show your team pride all day, every day with certified National Lacrosse League apparel, including hoodies, shirts, half zip sweatshirts, long sleeves, hats, scarves, and of course, jerseys. For me, it's all about finding the best quality. That's why you know how I've got the quality night pants, quality hoodies, the quality shirts, and so does Fanatics with their National Lacrosse League stuff. I got that San Diego Seals purple. You know I'm a big purple fan too. Hoodie. It's nice and soft. It fits nice. It's got good room. So whether you're getting ready for the 2021 National Lacrosse League season or you're shopping for a fan in your life, Fanatics ships fan gear right to your door. It's going to show up. It's COVID safe, all that stuff right now. It was quick and easy. All right. So Fanatics is the only place to buy official National Lacrosse League fan gear. Do what I did. Get yours in time for the upcoming season. You can save 25% when you use my promo code Honeydew at shopnll.com/honeydew. That's shopnll.com/honeydew. Promo code is Honeydew. Don't forget to include that. You'll get 25% off. Our next sponsor is Talkspace. Now, when money's tight, investing in yourself may not be top of mind, but mental health is a necessity. It's not a luxury. And guess what? Taking care of yourself doesn't have to break the bank. Investing in your mental health has long-term benefits, and with Talkspace, it can actually be affordable, okay? With Talkspace online therapy, you connect with a licensed therapist for a fraction of the price of in-person therapy. You get matched with your perfect therapist from the comfort of your device, and you can reach out 24/7 whenever something's on your mind, okay? It's a, like I say, Talkspace is a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy. Instead of waiting for an appointment, you can send unlimited message to your therapist 24/7 and they'll engage daily 5 days a week. And now Talkspace covers 40 million people for online therapy through their insurance or employer. The Talkspace network is composed of thousands of licensed therapists who have experience in over 40 specialties, including but not limited to treating depression, anxiety, substance abuse, trauma, relationship issues, food and eating, and much more. All the things that are attacking people right now. Talkspace is secure and private, using the latest encryption technology to store client information. The bottom line is that we all need someone to talk to. You know I'm a huge believer in therapy. You know I go to therapy. You know I do therapy. All of it. Journaling, all of it helps. Therapy, therapy, therapy. Don't be try to be manly and think you can't do it. Yes, you can, and yes, you should, all right? Talkspace wants to give us the support we deserve at a price we can afford. So as a listener of my podcast, you can get $100 off your first month on Talkspace. To match with your perfect therapist, here's all you got to do. You go to Talkspace.com, or you can download the app, and make sure you use the code HoneyDew to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's HoneyDew at Talkspace.com. Now, let's get back to the dew.
Back to your father and your pilgrimage home after his death.
Yeah, so like when I moved, so anyway, like I was saying, I was trying to get out of Boston, you know, trying to get out of Mass when I moved. And then when I moved, I like one of the first things I did within the first year I was in LA, I like found a way to get in touch with my dad. That was like one of the, and I hadn't talked to him since I was 10.
But why? What drove you to do it?
I just felt like I was in a different place. I wanted some answers. You know, I think anyone who like moves away, I mean, maybe this is everyone anyway, it just gave me a chance to be someone different. And like, I defined myself so much by like, fuck that guy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I'm like here, I'm like, all right, well now I can have a different kind of idea about it. And like, maybe I can like get some kind of understanding. And so we started emailing, we talked once on the phone, then we just started emailing. And that like lasted from when I was like 25 to like 27, maybe.
How often? Like, monthly?
No, I mean, put it this way, I would email him and he would email back like that as soon as, like within minutes of me sending it. And then it would be like, I would wait a little bit and then we would do it again. You know, like he was like, I could tell he was excited.
But never initiated.
Never initiated. Every now and then I think I would get an email. It was like, hey, haven't heard from you in a while, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so then it would go like a 2 year or a year stretch that I wouldn't email or he wouldn't email. And then I would like get back on the horse. It would be me again, you know. And then like when I was 36, you know, I was married. We hadn't had kids yet. And we were back in Mass. And I told him like, hey, I'm coming back home. And, you know, it'd be good to see. He wanted me to see him. Like he was like, oh, he basically told me like, I'm not going to email anymore unless we see each other. And I was like, all right. So I drove up there, met him, and then...
When you went back to visit?
Yeah.
And he knew you were coming because you let him know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he's like, so we spent like the day together.
All right, so hold on.
Yeah.
Sorry. How long had it been since you actually had seen him and hung out with him?
26 years.
Woo!
Yeah. So 26 from 10 years, to 36.
You hadn't even seen him?
No. No.
And now you're going
to... Maybe I was 35.
But now you're going to go drive up to his home.
Yeah. Well, no, I met him at the antique shop.
Okay, at the shop.
Yeah.
So he's about to meet his adult, well, really reintroduce himself to his adult son.
Yeah.
Who he's seen last time at 10?
Yeah. Yeah.
And lived 3.5 to 5 miles away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you guys never ran into each other at grocery stores, post office,
none of that stuff.
Ever.
He's in different town. You know,
but
how that
still,
is, grocery stores, never.
But he never came to any of your sporting events throughout high school or
anything. That was like one of the first things he said to my wife when he met her. He was, you know, he's been mad at me. I never came to a soccer game. Yeah. And like in her head, she's like, yeah, douchebag.
That's the first thing you're saying.
You know what I mean? I'm coaching Little League. Yeah. This guy couldn't even go to a game. He goes, I went to one game. He asked me to come. I went to one game, and he was in goal, and he let in like 8 goals.
Swiss cheese, they called him.
He literally, literally ripped on me for the fact that I had a bad game in net.
Maybe it's because I didn't have a dad.
No,
God damn it.
Maybe it was because he was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You made me feel like such a loser for being there. So anyway, we spent that day together, and then like he gave me some stuff, which I took, and I brought it back home. And then we like would email again. You know, we never talked, but we emailed again. And then, you know, I was doing Best Bars, you know, that show. And we were in New York doing press. And we were going to do the Today. We did one press. I can't remember what we did, some podcast or something. And then we're doing the Today Show. The next day we're doing the Today Show, which was like kind of a big deal. I'm in a baller hotel with like a suite. I'm laying on my bed. It just became nighttime, and my phone rings, and it's my brother. Now, my brother never calls me. Like, just doesn't call. Like, I could count on one hand how many times my brother's called me in 20 years, you know? And I'm like, what the fuck? And I just pick up, and I go, who died? You know? And he goes, Dad.
Nah.
Yeah.
That's how you found out?
That's how I found out, you know, my brother's never going to miss a moment for a good joke, you know? And I remember just sitting there being like, what? I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, you know, I don't know how it got to him. Like someone, you know, because my brother or sisters hadn't talked to him. And I was like, oh. And I'm like, well, thank you for calling me to tell me. Now, by the way, I'm close with Adam. We're very, very close. It's just, that's just not him. You know, he's just not a caller. And so he was like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. And he's like, all right. But I wasn't. You know what I mean? I was fucking...
Right there on the spot, you weren't?
No, he told me, and I thought I was fine. And then I just hung up and called my wife, and that's when I just lost it. Like, I just, like, it was almost, like, not real until I talked to her about it.
So you said it instead of just hearing it?
Yeah, exactly. And then I was just, like, bawling. And it was just weird. It was, like, because, like, all the stuff, like, it's... I think it was, like, a combination of, like... The what ifs, like what if, was there still going to be a time? Like, because we had talked a little bit about him, like coming to LA, and like he had said, like, I've always thought like maybe I'd sell everything, get like a Winnebago, and I'd just come out there. Like, would you be open to me having a relationship with your son and stuff like that?
He said that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, like to be a grandfather. And I was like, yeah, you know, because like to me, it's like, you know, the idea. But every time I would say, yeah, it was like so scary to be like, yeah, I think, you know what I mean? And then, you know, so then, like, you know, I was sitting there and I bawled and I was just like on the phone for like a while. And then it was like, my friend came over with pizza and we just kind of hung out that night. And then I just like, before that, I realized, I'm like, I think I'll just go. I don't know what made me think. Like, I called my sister who called my aunt, who called my other aunt, who got my dad's wife's phone number. And then said, Jay would like to go home and go through his dad's stuff. You cool with that? And she was like, yeah. Which is so crazy.
It is. But also, it's crazy that here you are the night before the Today Show.
Yeah.
The tonight before the Today Show. And you're in a badass hotel room. And this is where you get the news. Like, it's one of those bittersweet things where...
It wasn't even bittersweet. You know what it was? It was literally like... making me feel like a fucking loser right before I was about to have an achievement.
I do understand that, but also where you are literally in that room and what you're about to do the next day should have been a sign to you that here's a man that didn't give a fuck about you and is gone now, and look where you are in life.
Yeah.
You don't see that till much, much later.
Yeah, but. And even then, you know, even now I look back and I didn't measure it that way or categorize it that way. I just kind of looked at it like, oh.
So hold on.
Yeah. What?
Did your dad die the day before the Today Show?
Yeah, why?
It's just killing me right now that your dad died the day before the Today Show.
Why is that so funny?
Because he never made it to tomorrow to see you on the Today Show.
He wouldn't have been watching anyway. I love how much that's getting you.
It is. It really is getting me. You're going on a Today Show, and he dies the night before.
Listen.
My son's going on a Today Show. When? Today? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
You going to watch it? Yeah. No, you ain't, motherfucker.
You ain't.
You ain't going to see that. This is your last day.
Yeah, I don't know what made me think like I should go home. I don't know what it was, but I was
okay,
like,
so you want to go back. So, but you're in New York. You're going right from New York, right up?
Yeah, I was going to just because
he's still in Massachusetts at the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, like he had an apartment in Massachusetts and his wife lived in New Hampshire. Even though they were still together.
Okay.
He needed space because her son moved home and he's like, I'm not living with a four.
It's his thing. I'm not living with a kid.
Yeah.
I didn't live with my own kids. You think I'm going to live with your kids?
Listen,
I need space.
I couldn't live with young kids. You think I'm going to live with a grown kid? Get the fuck out of here, man. That is hilarious, dude. Listen, I love you, but this is... I don't love kids.
I don't love kids. I didn't love my own.
I didn't love my own. You think I'm going
to
love yours?
You expect me to love yours?
He did. That dude did live with my dad.
How old was he?
When I was like... When I remember going to my dad's place, he was like 17.
How old were you?
I was like, you know, 8.
So this kid, so he did take a stepchild in, basically.
Well, he moved in with his wife, you know what I mean, to her mom's house. They all live there. Yeah. So, you know what's funny is when I got to my father's wife's place.
That's the first place you go, her place first?
Oh, so I said to the producers, like, because we were doing the Today Show, I called them, like, hey, listen, my dad died.
Listen, the first thing, anyway, Hoda could just give me a couple hours.
You asked Michael Strahan. We didn't. We just did Hoda and whatever.
Who was it then? Hoda and
Kathy Lee,
yeah,
right?
Kathy Lee, yeah.
Yeah. But I called the producers. I'm like, listen, my dad died. I'm going to go to Massachusetts. And they were like, we're changing your flight right now. So they like handled everything. They changed my flight. They go, don't worry about booking your flight home from Mass. When you're ready to come home, we'll book it. Like, they were amazing. And so it was wild, like meeting up in the lobby for the Today Show. Cause everyone's like, how you doing, man? I'm like, I'm good, you know? But like, I showed up at my dad's wife's house and I'm like, hey, Mary, her name's Mary. And she's like, hi, Jay. And I'm like, how you doing? She's like, good. And I'm like,
are you in New Hampshire at her place?
Yeah. I'm like, so it's just, you know, cool if I look around. She's like, yeah, you want to go to your dad's studio? And I was like, yeah, he had this like, and like I sat there, I FaceTimed my brother.
While you were at the studio?
Yeah.
Is like, she with you at the time?
No, she waited leaving? In the house.
So, oh, there was a studio on the property.
Yeah, so like the garage, he had like this little room that like he had like decorated with all these antiques that he found and some of his artwork, like he was an artist. And then he had like his shop room that he would like do the work in. And then there was an upstairs and I just kind of like walked through everything and like FaceTiming with my bro. And I told you this, there was some trippy shit in there, like a Barbie fucking another Barbie, like in dog style position and like just weird shit. And everything was in fours, you know, there's four of us kids and they'd be like, four Barbie heads or four other things. You know, like everything was in fours.
That's interesting.
And I was like looking at it like, yeah, like this is very odd. And by the way, I'm probably hoping, all I was looking for was connection between him and us. Like I just wanted
a picture or anything.
That's it, dude. That's all I wanted. And so I'm out there for a while. I grab a couple things. I'm like, is it cool if I have these? I go back in. I'm like, cool if I have these? She's like, yeah. She's in there, and her friend's there, and then her son is making grilled cheese and tomato sandwiches, which were, I got to tell you right now, they're pretty good.
I ain't no Sue Larson meatballs, but
I don't know what
it, his recipe.
Woo!
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only win.
returns. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I don't know why my dad wouldn't live with a kid. I mean, the guy made a good grilled cheese and tomato. You know what I mean? I think they were heirloom. But I remember her, like, her friends there, and they're both talking about my dad, you know, and like they're just like, oh, he was such a, you know, they're saying all this like positive stuff, and then I just go, he was out of his mind. They're like, what? I go, he was tormented. You don't see that he was tormented? And they go, what do you mean? I go, everything's in fours. I go, what's that thing stacked up on top? It was like four doll heads stacked on top of a baseball. I'm like, you don't think that means anything? Nothing. And they're like, I don't know. And there were dicks everywhere. Art, like dick art. Dick art. You ever heard of dick art?
No, is that a category?
It's not a common genre. But there were fucking...
Got a dick art festival this week down in Pomona. All right. He's going to sell some dick art. Okay.
King. Straight up dick art, bro. Dicks everywhere.
In the house or just the studio?
No, in the house. Yeah, like on the wall. And I'm like sitting there. I'm like, he was tormented. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, that's a penis right there with a fish hook through it. You don't think that's something?
Right next to Jesus.
No, there was no Jesus.
That was his Jesus. And they would have that around the house?
By the way, I don't know, like, my dad's wife's, like, what her thing was. But when we were kids at their house... They had, like, it was like in the living room, there was a nook that was like carved out, and they put in, like, my dad collected tons of antiques. He was an antique dealer. So they put in, like, this little, like, you know, like in a courtroom, like the little gate fence.
Oh, yeah.
Into it, into the nook. And
like there was a saloon door.
Yeah. And there was a casket in there.
What?
Yeah. And then they also had like garlic in the windows. There was skulls and shit. They were very...
Vampires? What the fuck?
Very witchy. A lot of witch vibe going on.
Wiccan or...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Salem. You're up in that area. You
yeah,
know?
No. Yeah. And it was, you know, it was like... it was just always a little trippy. It wasn't like dark and black. It was actually like a really nice house. It was just like... Oh,
turquoise
cast. What is this? They were in the Navajo.
That's nice.
And then like I remember... So, like, then I just kind of, like, walked into the other room, and she walked in with me, and I was like, this is how, like, desperate I was for anything. And I go, did my dad, like, mention me at all? Like, did he ever talk about me or miss me? And
she's like, Ray, right?
She was like, she straight up just goes, no, no. And I was like, all right.
You can't even lie in that moment,
lady. It
was
fucking rough.
Oh, she said no. Huh?
I mean, it was just
so you never found a photo of you kids or anything, nothing in there.
I found one. Because then what she did, she said, you want to go to your dad's apartment, right? And I said, yeah. And she goes, well, here's the key. You know, here's the address. You can go. When you're done, just like lock it. I have another key. Just leave the key. Like on the table somewhere or something. And I was like, all right. And like my aunt had told me ahead of time, she's like, I'm just telling you, it's not uplifting. You know what I mean? And I was like, okay.
Like, yeah, I know. There's dicks with fish hooks on the walls.
Oh, that was nice compared to like my dad's spot.
That drive like going over there knowing you? Had you ever been in there?
No.
You're about to go in a strange place and like discover someone's life.
Yeah.
And it's your dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Who you totally. Don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. I wasn't even thinking to that capacity. I was just like, you know, it's like when I decided I was going to go, I was just like, I'm going, I'm doing this, and whatever it is, it is. You know, I just kind of like was doing it for myself. It was kind of, if you look at it, I'm just like, it took my dad being dead for me to go see his world, you know? So I go to this, like, he lived in like a duplex, which was an old schoolhouse, and I go into the door, I open up the door, and it was freezing cold, so cold. And there was like, you know, like when people put like plastic over the windows mm-hmm. to keep the cold out, that was in this room.
The 3M.
Yeah. And he had a fish tank that looked like he died, you know, 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. It was barely, I don't even know if there was anything in there, but the filter was going and like it was that empty. So it's like the water's making a loud noise. And like he had like a folding table over here with just like all books of like about silver, you know, like my dad like collected coins and silver. So it was like, you know, you got to learn about it. And it was all antique stuff. And he had a desk with a computer. and printed out on the computer was like ticket information to a stand-up show that I had in Connecticut.
Sitting on the printer?
Yeah, sitting on the printer.
Oh, that's what you found?
Yeah. That was the only thing connected to me. I did find
a picture. I'm selling these to a buddy of mine. Scalping these.
I do them offline.
Scalping these.
I make $6 a ticket off these. and then I found a picture of my sister in that place. And she was always his favorite. She was the one that, like, she stayed connected to him longer than any of us.
But no family picture, no nothing from the early days, just one thing
just
there.
Just one, and I went through that whole place. But that room was like a fucking mess, and then it was like a living room and kitchen combined, and it was gross. It was just bad. It was like really bad. And even the kitchen was like pots like with just cooked food burnt in them, and like it was just bad. And then there was like another bedroom that it was like where he would like ship antiques out of. So it was like UPS boxes. Shout out to Baltimore Pub.
Shout out to
Baltimore Pub.
Shout out to UPS Baltimore Hub, Primary 1, Joe Avenue. So you're telling me this bedroom was fulfillment? That was where
that
he
was. Yeah, that's where he was doing fulfillment, man. When I got there, two or three people working. I was like, guys, you guys are still on the clock?
You know the boss is dead, right?
Yeah, that was fulfillment.
They're like, who are you?
Lots of bubble wrap in there, man.
You're just like, never heard about you, man. Who are you? I'm his son, Jay. Yeah, never heard about you, man. Like, oh, God.
Heard about Ray? Nah, man.
You Ray?
Yeah, so like, there was that room, which was like, you know, it was all cold. And then I went to like the bathroom was just, it was terrible. Like, he was living in squalor.
Did he die in that apartment?
Yeah, I went into his bedroom, and right there, like, all the wrappings from, like, whatever the EMT, like, busted out, you know what I mean? And they told me, like, he had collapsed and then hit the radiator with his head, like, when he fell, and then was, like, so I stood in that spot. Like, I deliberately was like, all right, let me go to this spot.
You just reenacted like, how he did it?
Yeah, right. I fucking felt, like, what do we think? I'm trying to solve the case?
Yeah, I didn't know what you meant. You sat in that spot.
What I'm saying is I went over to, like, where all the EMT stuff was. I'm like, oh, this is clearly where he was laying.
Right, right.
And I just, like, stood there to see, like, if I just kept waiting to be, like, overtaken. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted emotion. I wanted some sort of release. And it didn't happen. But it was just, like, wild to just be, like, I'm in here. You know what I mean? I'm like, what else am I going to do but try and go through it? And then I hung out there for like, I don't know. He had like back steps, and I went and sat on the back steps. There's like a little stream behind his house that you could hear and like see. I walked out to the stream, then sat back there. I'm like, oh, I wonder if we ever sat here, you know? It was just like all wondering. And then like came back in, and then someone's like, hello? And I'm like, hey. This guy comes in. He's like, hey. And he's like, I live upstairs. I'm like, oh, how you doing? I'm Jay. And he goes, I go, I'm Norm's son. And he goes, in my mind, I
didn't know he had any kids.
That's what I think he said. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did say that.
Right.
And he goes, let me tell you something about your dad. One, nicest guy I've ever met in my life. Give you the shirt off his back. Two, smartest guy I've ever known. Three, funniest man I've ever known in my life. And I go, I'll give you two and three, man. I can't give you one.
I need to get a hug. I fuck the shirt.
I can't give you one. And I remember him just kind of being like, all right, yeah. Like, you're clearly being like, oh, this is whatever is going on here. You know what I mean? And it's funny because then, like, you know, I was going back to my aunt's, who I hadn't seen in 25 years, to, like, afterwards.
His sister,
yeah. And then, like, showed up and she's like, how you doing? I'm like, good. And she's like, we're having a drink. She and her girlfriend, you want one? I'm like, yeah, let's do that. I had, like, four Jack on the Rocks. And, yeah, that was kind of it until we went back. Do you want to hear about the antique store, too, when I went back later? So, like, we had planned already a family vacation to go up to that area because I still love that area. It's, like, one of the things, like, I always, like...
Real quick, how far is it? Because I stayed at your mom's place. How far is it from there, we're talking about?
Like, 40 minutes.
Okay.
North Shore, like, Essex is, like, next to Gloucester. It's, like, you know...
Is it on the water?
Yeah.
Is it near? Okay.
Yeah. It's on the water. My grandparents had a house on the water. Like, my grandfather built this house there. And my aunt lives two houses from where my grandparents lived and then where my dad then lived.
So basically everyone in your family did what you said you wished you'd have done
in hindsight, they all stayed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've said to my brother before, I'm like, dude, you realize we were supposed to have, like, sailboats and shit? You know, like, my dad, when he was a kid, they had that house. My grandfather, you know, was a baker and did well and bought this cottage and then turned it into a house and then opened a bakery in that town so he could just stay there and work, which is, like, so awesome. And my dad had, like, his own boat, you know, nothing crazy, just, like, a, you know, like, a little tiny boat, and he had lobster traps. And so then he'd go collect his lobsters and then sell them to restaurants in town. Like, that's like, I used to say to my brother, I'm like, dude, we should, and there's like a sailing, there's like a little sailing club on this neck right near my grandfather's house. It's not like, it's not, it's a garage that like kids learn how to sail out of. And every year, like, I'm like, dude, we should have been sailors. And it's funny because me and my brother both like tried to like find these lives, you know, like we thought we would have had, you know what I mean? Like later I took sailing classes in LA. You know, so I had this vacation planned where we were going to go back east to that area. And I wanted to like the couple that owned the antique store where that day I met my dad, they were like, they were just
so
like,
he worked for them. He didn't own the store.
Yeah. No, he worked for them
as what? A dealer?
Yeah.
A finder?
Like, and knowledgeable guy. Like that guy used to tell me, he's like, people can come here with thing. Your dad knows the value of it in 2 seconds. And so, like, he goes, he's, like, the best guy I have working for me. Like, they used to do, like, things where they go clean out your attic. You know, and he's like, I can take him on a call, and your dad can be like, get this, you know. And the guy, well, like, that day that I went to meet my dad, that guy came out with a camera, and, like, my dad was in the other room. He's like, you have no idea how special this is for him. And I'm going to be like, okay. So he took a photo of me and my dad that day. And so when I went home to see him, or when my dad died, I think I stopped in there and saw him, or I can't remember. I just knew that I wanted to go by there with my wife and Reed and go say hi, you know what I mean? So I go in there and I don't see them. And, you know, we're there and like Reed's looking at trucks. So I give him this little truck, and then there's this woman working over there, and I go over with, and I don't know her, and I go, hey, the owner's here? Because I couldn't remember the guy's name. She's like, no, they're not here today. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, I'm just going to buy one of these trucks. And she's like, okay. And then, like, right there, there's, like, a memorial for my dad, like, this, like, two pictures of him. One, like, wearing, like, a Gandalf hat, you know? Must have been, like, Halloween. Who knows? And then another one in a baker's hat, you know, because my grandfather was a baker. My dad was a baker for a while.
Oh, he was. He did that as well.
Well, he took over the family business but didn't want to do it. And my mother claims that my grandfather came to her and was like, listen, I have to sell the bakery. Like, I have to. Like, I know it's, like, how Norman helps support your family. I don't know. So I take the picture of my dad in the baker's hat, and I go over where my son's sitting on the floor, and I kneel down and I show him the picture, and he just starts like laughing hysterically at this photo, and it just crushed me.
You start bawling in the store.
Oh, God.
And the crazy one, it just gets you.
And
like,
he's
oh,
like,
God.
You know, he's probably like, what the hell's going on with yeah. my dad? And then, like, you know, so I'm hugging my wife. We got Reed. We're all hugging. And I remember just, like, hugging my wife, like, bawling. And, like, I can see right over to the woman behind the counter. And she's looking at us like, what the fuck
is this crew?
First of all, what are you doing with that memorial, dude? Like, you don't just pick up a memorial. And
that's a good point. Yeah, you're just over there touching it and shit.
Like, yeah, man, let me take this over. I walked away with it. And it was crazy, man. It was just, like, a crazy release to, like, have that out of my system. You know what I mean? Because at that point...
Well, your future is literally looking at this picture right there, your own son. I mean, that had to feel good.
Yeah, I mean, it was something. And it was also like he just started laughing hysterically at this photo. And I was like, holy shit, my dad's making my son laugh, which is like my job. It was just a trip, man. Wild. And I think like a lot of times we're scared to put ourselves in situations because – we don't know how we're going to feel. And I think that's the only reason I went to go home from New York was because I'm like, I need to know, like, I just need to, like, do, I had to do it. I was like, otherwise, I'm just going to, like, what, go back to LA, you know? Like, sometimes you just got to do it.
So what, did it bring you the closure you hoped for? Did it,
I have no idea.
Has it changed things in your life since then?
I have no idea. You know what I mean? I have no who knows? You know what I mean? Like, how do you know if anything affected you? I mean, it was affecting me at the moment, you know, I was like in it and I was like, oh, wow, this is crazy. But I don't know if it changed me. You know what I mean? It definitely had an impact on me. I'm just glad I did it to experiencing it because I don't, you know, who knows?
Well, the whole time, obviously, you've had to be the adult in the relationship, and now you had to even go back and get the closure you hoped for.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
I know you were looking for that picture or whatever, and nothing since then has popped up. No one's ever sent you anything since then. Or
no, no. But, I mean, I don't know who would. Yeah. Trust me, there have been times when I'm still one. This is how ridiculous it is. The other day I was like, I mean, what if I just called his wife and just asked? I don't know if I really asked her that day if he thought about me. I just want to check it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
swear to God.
He still doesn't.
And I was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, let it go. Like, just let it go and try and, like, grow from it. But... you know,
well, what do you? Why do you tell yourself let it go? What do you? You mean actually calling this woman, or
yeah,
the thought of,
or just like the thought of it? Like I don't
well,
think
what's
about
the matter
him
with thinking about. I wish someone loved me.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it's like the idea of like wondering if he did, or like just the whole idea of it. I'm kind of like, you know, I am past it. It was that's why when it came up in my head, I was just like, hey, bro, you're good with this now, dude. You know what I mean? Now move on to the fact that your mom probably didn't give you any attention. Now let's focus on her for the next 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, also in her defense, a single mom of four kids.
Oh, yeah.
Plus Auntie Rue, plus Auntie Gert.
Yeah, I'm not
at the house.
You know, I'm not even, I'm not attacking her in any way. I'm just like, she was pinched. You know what I mean?
She was saddled with this whole fucking
she
situation.
Had no, yeah, yes. Who, God knows, you know, when you're 19, when my mom got married, you know, you don't, you're not thinking this way, you know what
no
I mean?
Hell no.
So
well, it's good. I think our generation is like that early generation or first generation of guys that really want to be dads, or at least I tell the kids I love you, show a little softness and sentimental, you know, not that hard shit, you know.
You know what's funny is I've been taking the kids camping. I mentioned that, so we went camping, right? Go to this campsite. I know that they have like a little bit of a river on it. You know, it's not like crazy, but it's like, you know, over my head, you know, some places I can stand, some are over my head. It's probably like 150 to 200 yards long, and you can float it and then get out and go back. And it's awesome. It's no longer than, no wider at any point than like 15 feet wide. So we're going down to it, you know, and like to get in, it's just like mud and muck. You got to walk through to get in it. And I'm like, this is disgusting. You know what I mean? Like that is not me, you know? And my kids, Reed and River, are both going like, this is gross, Dad. And in my head, I'm like, no fucking shit, it's gross. But I can't be that guy. I have to be the guy that's like, it's fine. Awesome. It's a little bit of mud. Yeah, what do you care? But I never had anyone, man, woman, uncle, friend, being like, it's totally fine. I never had anyone pick up a little gardener snake and be like, it's fine. It's not going to bite you. You know what I mean? So I get them through. I'm like, come on, you know? And like, there's like this, they're like three moms right there on a trip with their daughters. And they're seeing me like, River's like, I'm not going in. And I'm like, yes, you are. Let's go. It's just a little mud. Anyway, so we're like, I'm sitting there the whole time like, oh, I'm not this dad. Like, we're on this camp trip. I don't know anything about camp. I haven't camped since I was like 14 in Boy Scouts. And now I'm 44. It's 30 years. And I like, we get them in and we're floating down the river. And dude, it like as clear as day just came across my brain. And I go, you are this guy, dude. You 100% are the guy that steps in mud and like it's fine. You're the guy.
I've been
that
trying to tell you that for years.
You know what I'm saying?
I've been trying to tell you you're not the fucking boat shoe wearing collar.
Oh, but I still
guy.
Am.
I mean, that's your style.
I still love that.
But you
of
are
course.
That guy.
But still, like there was so many elements of it that I was like, oh. But you know what it is? It's like I think sometimes we just like hold up and don't try new things. So like even though I've camped when I was 30, like it's a new thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm so glad that I did it because I just realized stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah. Now it's like, excuse me, old hat. I'm crushing camping. We do the whole thing. I remember like we were getting ready to go camping and someone asked River like, are you nervous to go camping? She goes, my dad was a Boy Scout. Like, not sweating it at all.
Right, at all.
And, like, you know, the best is, like, we rented off, like, Hip Camp, which is, like, Airbnb for campsites. So, like, you know, if you go to, like, a state park and campsite, you're going to have, like, there could be 20 people
that's
camping
like
right
around,
near you.
Yeah.
Right. And
if
this was
go real camping. It's a good distance between that next site.
Right. So this woman has 30 acres, and there are four campsites. So, there's no one near you. And, like, so, you know, me and Reed, if you want to go to the bathroom, you just go pee up against a bush. And I said, River, she's like, I need to go to the bathroom. And what this woman does is they put out a 5-gallon bucket with a bag in it, and then they put, like, a handicap seat over it, and then you poop there, right? And I'm like, pee or poop? And she goes, pee. I go, you can pee right there. She's like, yeah. And I go, yeah, just pee right there. And she loved it, bro. The idea that she could just go pee. I was, like, so afraid. Here's the other thing that I've been really grasping and taking on, and I'd love to know if, like, you have the same experience, is, like, any time they love doing something with me, I'm almost, like, baffled. You know what I'm saying? Because I never – the word father had a negative connotation for me forever.
Good point. Sure.
I never wanted to be with my dad. Like, I always thought negatively about him. So when my kids want to do things with me, when my kids love – like, they love camping. So we were going to go the second time, and I go, you know, we don't have to go camping this weekend, guys. And they're like, no, we want to. And I was like, oh. And I was like,
one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I'm still, like, learning, like, oh, no, they really like being with you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they love it. It's hard for me to even, like, accept it, you know? And so that's been, like, a wild thing of just, like, them, like, looking forward to camping. And when we got there the second time, they're just, like, walking around. River especially, walking around. Like, she owns the place. Yeah. She's like, yeah, we camp. And then she's like, let's go. When are we going to the river? Are we going down there? And the second time, I got, like, a raft.
I saw that.
You know, yeah. Like, remember those from growing up? Like, you saw those? Dude, they each had their own oar. They were, like, in a little boat. There were times Reed was just, like, laying back, chilling, and it was the best. It was the best. Yeah. Do you have that element? Like, because I know it was your mom, but, like, do you have that element of, like, gets shocked that Stella, like, loves being around you? You just accept it.
No, I accept it. I do, because I'm that dad like you. I'm like, let's just throw a bag in the car and go somewhere this weekend. Let's go here. Let's go there. Like, I'll make us drive to the grocery store fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about.
I always do.
You know, it's all about that. So yeah. It makes me feel good when my daughter calls me from her mom's, like, when are you coming over? When can I come get you? You know, when can you come get me? Or can you come by tonight? I'm like, yeah, I'll come by tonight and say hi. You know, I love that stuff. But I also, like, I'm that type of guy. I don't know, you know, if you are or not, but I'm super sensitive. You know, I'll cry at commercials. My daughter says shit that blows me away and makes me cry or get sensitive. I'm like, oh, my God. And then on the other hand, I will fucking cut your goddamn throat out. Like, I know you remember the story of the guy that wouldn't move behind me in the parking lot. And he was illegally parked and I couldn't get out. And I was like, hold on a second, Stella. And I got right up on his fucking window and his kid was in his car. And I go, if you don't move your fucking car, I'm going to embarrass the shit out of you in front of your son right now. Move the fucking car. And
why wasn't he moving?
He just wouldn't move. He was being an arrogant asshole. I'm like, hey, can you move? You're not even supposed to park there. All I want to do is back out of here and go. Yeah. And all you need to do is move 2 feet. And he was just like, he kept going, no. No, like that. And then when I got out of the car, motherfucker changed his tune. Yeah, sometimes people see you walking at them, they're like, no, let me.
What do you mean sometimes? Almost every time.
There was that one. There was one night this fucking guy, she was probably
23 at the time, and I ordered something off of DoorDash, and it's called DoorDash. They bring it to your door. And he's this Russian dude, and he's already aggressive with me. Like, there's no parking out here. You got to come get your food. I go, I'm not coming to get the food. It's called DoorDash. It's not called I walk out to your DoorDash. He's like, well, there's no parking. I'm going to get a ticket. I go, bro, look at my history. No one has ever gotten a ticket. I've ordered plenty of times from you guys. You're the only person calling and giving me attitude. And he's like, well, I'm not delivering. I go, well, then I don't give a shit if you're delivering it. And I start yelling back at him, right? And I get mad. And I'm not thinking that Stella's sitting there. And he's like, you come get the food. I go, I'm not getting the fucking food. If you don't want to bring the food up to my door, then take it back. I'm not paying for it, you piece of shit. And I hung up and I turn around and I see my little daughter sitting there. I was like, and she just goes. And I was like, fuck yeah. Threw me a thumbs up. Like, don't take that insane. Shit that. And just like 2 weekends ago, I'm with some friends. We're down in Dana Point. We all go to the beach to do a bonfire, and we're all in the car together, and this big truck comes in, and he's taking up both lanes, and he won't move. He wants me to move, and I'm just trying to get over to the side, and he just starts yelling out the window. He's like, there's two lanes here, and I go, then pick one, fuckface, totally forgetting that I've got the kids in the car. And her little friend goes, Uncle Ryan. I was like, oh, sorry, girls. Sorry about that. Don't take shit off anybody.
I think it's funny that like I bring up one thing and all of a sudden you just rattle off three. And you know what? If I didn't know you the way I know you, I'd be like, man, this guy's got a temper. But that is like I know
it takes forever for me to get there.
Oh, my God.
But I'll get there.
Yeah.
And I like getting there. I don't mind confrontation.
Yeah.
I really like it because it surprises a lot of people out of me. They're like, you're so nice. And I'm like, I am.
I just love confrontation because I think people make too big of a deal out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like what
but also, most of those people are the Karens of the world are barking, and they never have anyone go back at them.
No.
You know what I mean? And the moment you flex on them, they don't even, they clutch their pearls as if, how could this person do this to me?
And I'm like, you're doing it.
Right.
Yesterday, when I'm golfing, we pull up to this tee, and there's a guy in his golf cart, and his golf bag says Steve Streel on it, right? That's his name, right? Whatever, well, whatever his last name was, but it was Steve.
You're not going to believe this, dude.
Steve H. Steele! What's up, baby?
Get your ass in here. Tell Mars I said what's up.
Oh, boy. So we pull up, and I'm with like the guy, my EP on the golf show, and I pull up, and I go, Steve? And he looks at me, and he's got a big beer in his hand. And I go, dude, what's up, man? He's looking at me like, fuck, who's this guy? And I go, are you serious? I go like this. I go, are you serious? You don't remember me? And he just looks at me, and he goes, Lacey?
Lacey.
I
don't know if I've ever heard that
name.
It's a last name.
That's how well he knows this guy. He knows him by last name. He goes, Lacey. I go, yeah, man. He goes, Frank Lacey, man. I go, dude. He goes,
ain't gonna believe
shut
this.
Your mouth.
Frank Lacey! Get your ass
in here, man.
Frank A! Frank Lacey's a great name.
This guy is looking at me. And he goes, oh, man, I didn't even recognize you. I go, that's because it's not me, bro. Your name's on your bag. How many beers you had, you drunk?
Did he laugh?
Oh, my God. He's dying. My EP is dying. But, like, I just think sometimes that's what I love about confrontation. I like confrontation that I can, like, be mean to people and get away with it. But you said, like, you don't know if I'm sensitive. Yeah, dude, I'm highly sensitive, especially, like, with the kids, like – and I always tell them, like, you know, I never tell them to stop crying. I never once told my kids, stop crying. I go, hey, man, I understand you're upset. Like, I don't ever want my kid to grow up to be the kid who can't cry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, not have emotion. And then he's like, older, and he's like, I can't relate to anybody because I can't. I have all these
I'm
feelings.
Not allowed to cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've watched my friends be like, stop crying. You don't need to cry. And I'm just like, oh, all right, dude, that's how you want to do it. I'm going to do it.
That's how you want to do it. So let's talk about food and addiction, because both of us have dealt with it, obviously. I don't know what the definition of a food addict is, but I certainly have some of it. I certainly eat my feelings. Like pizza and crab or seafood are my number ones, tied right there. And honestly, I can directly tie that back to my father.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we would go every Friday night with my brothers and my grandmother to Sorrento's and Arbutus and get pizza and play the arcade games, you know, almost every Friday. I don't remember having a bad time eating pizza. It's definitely that smell, the flavor. That's why I've been making a bunch of them now.
Yeah.
Been doing a bunch of them, posting them on IG with that everything but the bagel crust and everything. Like, just fucking around. Barbecue chicken, regular. And I order the pizza, the Don Pepino sauce, which was what we had. I mean, the flavors, everything. It just takes me back to a time where I felt good. So, at pizza, same thing with crabs. Like, growing up, it was crab, seafood, sushi. I mean, not sushi, actually, back then, but everything else but. So,
I don't associate
and fast
like
food,
do,
too. Like, oh, my mother would take us to fast food right before she dropped us off at soccer practice. We were eating McDonald's next to the soccer field. Get this food, eat it, and then go run laps and shit. Yeah. You know, like...
Well,
and
you
also
had metabolism through this.
Yeah,
the
back
roof
then.
Back then.
But also, having no parents from 16 on, like, we just lived off of Doritos, cold cuts, Martin's potato rolls, and just ordering pizza. Like, American pizza, we would call, they knew who we... Yeah, we'll be over there. Sicklers, we know. We'll be over.
Yeah.
And every day or every other day, they were coming over.
Yeah.
So it's always been... I was definitely not introduced to healthy eating. It was always quick and convenient. My dad would bring all the sodas home from the airport. You know, we'd have a trash bag of Canada Drys and Sprites and Cokes and all that shit. Sunkissed.
You know what's funny is I was talking to my boy the other day, and he was, like, driving with his kids. And I go, what's up? He goes, well, I just went to McDonald's. And I go, how often do you guys go to McDonald's? And he goes, I got to say twice a week. And I go, whoa. And he goes, don't judge. And I go, I'm not judging. I'm just literally, like... It's so funny when parents are afraid that you're going to judge. It's when they're doing something that they think they shouldn't be doing. It's never like they're afraid to be judged when they do something amazing.
I'm at the library three times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, yeah. I know. And I go, dude, I'm not judging you. I'm interested to know, like, I'm like, am I crazy on my end? You know what I mean? Because my kids have been to McDonald's maybe five times. You know what I mean? And we always do it as a treat, like, you know. And I don't know, that might be a negative thing. Well, like, McDonald's becomes a treat. What if they, you know, who knows?
Yeah, Stella doesn't eat their food, but she likes their milkshakes.
Oh, I mean, their ice cream is fucking
so that's what
bomb.
We that's what I'll go for.
Oh, we go for $1.09 for ice cream cone, soft serve. We can get serve. It's the best. But like, see, my food, I used to eat food when I had like a great set. I'd eat food when I was depressed. I'd eat food if something collapsed in my life. Celebrate.
Yeah.
But I never had the emotional attachment of like what the food was to the relationship. Sure. Mine has just always been like, it's always
let's
been a
eat.
Constant.
Yeah, I did something good. Let's eat. I'm sad. Let's eat. No.
100%. Yeah.
But also, do you find that that comes from like where you had a big family, mm-hmm. even though you may not have been close? Like, did you guys always have food around? Was food where people gathered to conversate?
No. There was a lot of times it wasn't food. And we'd be like, Ma, like, what's up? Are we going to have food? You know, again, it's like, think about that. Think about like working a 9-to-5 and then getting home and then. We eat dinner, and she takes my grandmother. When is she even going to go grocery shopping? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what it was. I think
that's one of the things for me. There's nothing that makes two things that made me feel good as a grown man that I promised myself were socks, good, clean socks that didn't have holes. I used to be so embarrassed when I'd go to people's homes, and they'd be like, take your shoes off. I'm like, fuck. And I'd have
– interesting.
And I would talk about how – I've talked about it on stage where I would wear two pairs of socks that have holes in different spots. So at least it didn't look – it was some weak spots.
Yeah.
But it didn't look like I had bare feet sticking through the fucking things, you know. Or I would – the toes would be blown out, so I'd pull them and I'd – tuck them over the toe and wear them in a shoe.
Yeah.
But now I'm at your house and it's like, oh. But what I'm realizing now as I get older is that doesn't make me look bad. It makes my mom look. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're thinking the whole time it's this reflection on you as a child. But
I say that to the kids when like they get dirt under their fingernails. I'm like, come here. And they hate it. I'm like, listen. I go, I don't want people seeing you with dirt under your nails and being like, wow, what's going on? I'm like, just clean your nails. Let me clip your nails.
It's socks, and I love to go to bed on a full stomach. Going to bed on a full stomach makes me feel like I'm not fucking poor and homeless. I don't even care if it's a McDonald's burger. If I'm full,
yeah, well, I mean, it's the best
sleep
if it's
good.
A McDonald's burger.
I sleep good if I'm full.
Yeah.
There were plenty of nights where I was stomach ground like you, just eating fucking Doritos or something for dinner. You know, like, fuck that.
Yeah. That's not me. Although,
where do you think it comes from? the addiction to food? Because are you admitting you have one? I remember, can I say who it was and everything?
What?
It was back when we used to do the feast at Raleigh Studios when we had ATC. And a certain comedian came in who was married to another comedian who is now deceased.
Oh, yes, yes, 100%.
And am I allowed to say?
Yeah, go ahead.
You don't care. It was Lana Turner, Ralphie's wife. And she was talking about, Ralphie was alive at the time, talking about his food addiction. And you had said, look, you know, I understand I have a food addiction as well. And
she wasn't even talking about Ralphie. I said something. I'm like, I'd like gone to the vending machine. And like, dude, my go-to vending machine is Coke, you know, like a cold Coke, and then like bag of like, I'll go French onion sun chips if they got it, or any sun chips, and then Doritos, and then like either a Twix or a Kit Kat kicker, and if there are Oreos, I'll kick that in there too. Like, that was just like automatic. So I just came back from there, and someone's like, man, like filling up on the sweets. I'm like, yeah, I'm addicted to food. I got a food addiction.
That's what
and
it
she was like, no, you don't. I've lived through a food addiction. And I was just like.
But you made a great point. Like, just because Ralphie definitely has one at this level, that's like saying, well, my husband's an alcoholic. He drinks 7 gallons of vodka
exactly.
a day. And saying, you're not because you only drink 2 a day.
Yeah.
Yes.
By the way, people, anorexics have a food addiction. You know what I mean?
Who?
Anorexics.
Anorexics.
What do you call what is it? Anorexics.
Anorexic.
Anorexics.
Anorexics.
Dude.
I was like, what addiction do they have?
You know what other word I
can't? Eggs. I guess they have addiction to eggs.
Man. Anorexics. They can't stop. You know,
oh, I love
you. You know
what
other word I can't say? Is I cannot say, God damn it. Vulnerable.
Vulnerable. That's how vulnerable is that? That you can't
I
even
know,
say a word.
But I say vulnerable.
Who?
Exactly.
Vulnerable?
I just can't get it out.
Say
it's like vulnerable.
I can't say limited properly. In my normal, I say it like when
limited?
I slow down. When I speed up and I say it at my normal speed, I say limited. And I always throw this extra tittered in there.
Nah, man. It's a
limited. It's a limited edition. I can't. I don't know what it is why I got this extra T in there.
Yeah.
But I hear you on that. Makes me feel very vulnerable.
Yeah. You know, my buddy hit me up the other day and he was asking me about, like, he was like, oh, he's doing intermittent fasting. He's like, I'm doing intermittent fasting. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And he goes, dude, you got to do it. It's the best, dude. I'm like, dude, I've done it, dude. I've done every single thing you can bring up.
You've lost a lot of weight, though.
Through keto, I did. And then I stopped, and it just, like, just floored it all back on. You know what I mean? It's like, it's
how much did you lose when you, at your most?
With keto?
Yeah.
Or just, like, in life? I think I lost, like, actually, let me think. Start around that. Got down to that. I maybe lost like 25 pounds.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Maybe. Yeah, and I've kept a good amount of it off. And now I'm doing like this like food program where they send you. It's not like meals. It's all like probiotics. So I'm talking to my friend who's doing keto, and he's like, I'm like, yeah, man, I'm trying this like food program. You know what I mean? You got to like eat 6 times a day. And he's like, nah, it's too much. It's too much. And I'm like, I want to be like, shut your fucking mouth. It's just something different than what you're doing right now. Because he's the same way. He's got like ups and downs all the time. And I'm just kind of like, don't you get tired of, don't you want to just be like, do you want, I mean, are you happy at the size you are now?
I'd like to drop 10 more.
Yeah,
I think
you could lose 10.
Honestly, the way I really want to do it is lose 15 and then for 1 week eat whatever the fuck, as much cheesesteaks and pizzas and sushi as I want.
You would put it all back if
just
you had
5
a
pounds. Just 5 pounds.
I do want to get to that point where, like, you know, like you watch Kumail and The Rock, they have like that one cheat meal a week and they go.
They're on steroids
town.
Or
yeah,
whatever
that's
the fuck
point.
Else they're
that's
on.
A good point.
I mean, they're whatever they're on. But
I'm still.
Like, HGH has probably got their metabolism pumping like. I do. I follow The Rock and Kumail, obviously, but I love The Rock and his cheat meals. Like, I don't think I could eat that in a week. The shit that guy puts away.
I mean, before I went on this meet, I mean, I could easy. You know what I mean? Like a cheat, not even a cheat meal. I would go.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know that back in the day, which you confessed to me later, when you were going through these sorts of addictions with food or battles, we'll call them, whatever you want to call them, you're ever comfortable, is that we started the feast out of my apartment in Sherman Oaks, and at the end of the block, there was a McDonald's.
Yeah.
And what I didn't know that you later told me is that you would come before the show and grab some food and after the show and grab some food.
That doesn't surprise me.
Give me an order at McDonald's. At your worst.
No, not even at my worst. This is just my go-to. I get number one Big Mac meal, large fry, large Coke, McChicken sandwich, and a cheeseburger booter. So not crazy.
But I mean, you were doing that twice a day, something when you would come to my place?
No, maybe a couple and apple pies in there. No, I don't know. I just, like, all I know is, like, it would just be, like, I would eat till I couldn't eat anymore. You know what I mean? There's no... I just always looked at it like it could never be too full. You know what I mean? Like, I would just, like, eat till I wasn't full anymore.
Till you were stuffed, you mean?
Stuffed.
Like, where you're sick.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I get like that anytime we do, like, crab feasts and all that shit, and there's crab cakes. Jimmy's got the damn crab egg rolls, and I will eat until I'm, like, sick. And yeah, I can't wake. In the morning I wake up, I still feel like shit, like that kind of thing.
See, now that I'm, like, doing this food program, I'm, like, hoping that I can get myself – and I'm just doing this program to get myself to a weight that I feel comfortable, like, doing cardio. You know what I mean? Like, I'm also combining it. But I like to think, like, I'd like to get to a weight that I'm comfortable at where, like, once a week I have a cheat meal, you know what I mean? Yeah. Where, like, I could just do
– You have to
go
live.
Go all out, you know?
You have to live. Also, it's tough as a parent. We're going on these goddamn well before Corona. Kids' birthday parties with all the sugar and the cakes and the snacks and the this and the that. You know, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to fucking have that you know, self-control
restraint.
And restraint. Yeah.
Especially when you see other people do it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll never forget, we went away with this couple, and I'd been quitting smoking for years, and this dude was smoking, and I go, dude, you smoke? And he's like, nah, just on weekends I'll have like eight. And I was like, I want to be the guy who has eight. And I'm like, I'll have one. I was right back to a pack a day.
Were you really?
Oh, yeah.
Like that, yeah.
Like that. That's just me, you know?
Well, I love you, dude.
And I love you too, brother.
This has been great. It's been long overdue. You can come on here anytime you want.
I'll be back next week.
I genuinely love you. I'm glad that we have been. I'm glad you finally came on because I'm tired of answering nonsense questions about. And that's all it was nonsense.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
We said what we said. The show ended. We were going in different directions. Now look what the fuck's going on in the world.
I know.
So. It's a great run. If you haven't listened to the – I say it all the time, and a lot of you have. You've discovered the Crab Feast. Some of you have rediscovered the Crab Feast. Please go listen to the episodes. I mean, it's 300 and some episodes, 7 years. If I say this all the time. If you went back and just listened to two a week, it would still take you over 3 years to listen to that library.
I've had people hit me up and be like, dude, can't believe the feast is ending. You know what I mean?
Just
and
now?
Like, yeah. And I'm like – And I'll be like, what happened? They're like, dude, I just heard about you, or I just heard about Rye, and then I got into the feast, and I got all the way through it, and like, I killed it in like a month, and you guys are ending? I'm like, yeah, it's over, man.
Yeah. Well, it was a great show.
Yeah, thanks
it
for having me, bro.
It was a great run. This has been a great episode.
It's great
thank
to
you
see
coming.
Like where you have it, too, with this. This is amazing.
Well, thank you. I love you.
Love you, too, bro.
And is there anything else you want to promote? Or
nope.
Nope.
You
good to go?
Yeah, just my special on YouTube, you know.
Watch Jay's special on YouTube, Jay Larson, Me Being Me.
Yep.
So I ask every guest the first time they come on advice to their 16-year-old self.
Yeah,
so before we wrap up, please, what would you tell Jay Larson Comedy's 16-year-old self?
It's a couple I don't know exactly what I would tell. I'd either say don't go to college, just go to L.A., but I think that's if you know, looking back now, like seeing the world and like what I put value on, I think I would probably say do a semester abroad in college and then travel Europe because like now I'm like, what am I doing? Like you can't just go travel Europe now for 2 months.
No.
I wish I had traveled and never felt like I had to go do one thing, which is why I'm still in LA after 20 years. You know? Yeah. That's probably
all right. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on.
You got it, buddy.
I love you. The door is always open. I'm glad to have...
It was locked when I got here.
It was definitely... Mm-hmm. Both of them were
locked. You know what I mean?
You know what
safe.
I mean? You got to hit the password. But again, going back to the Crab Feast, which was such a great time. Listen to the feasts. It's out there. It's 300 and some episodes. It'll take you over 3 years if you listen to two a week. You got plenty of honeydews. You got plenty of feasts to go listen to. As always, I appreciate all of you guys. This has been great. Episode 100. Thank you all for your support. I can't believe we've hit 100 this fast. It feels like we just started. There's plenty more to come. As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.